rest of the story. The teenager was strapped to the wooden table. What the straps could not hold perfectly still, several strong men did. It was time. A glass of brandy was poured into the boy's throat. His shirt was pulled back, and then Ephraim sank the knife point into the young man's belly. There was a terrible scream. You could have heard it anywhere in the house or anywhere near it. Then the blood came, and the wound yawned wide. And this is the rest of the story. Dr. Ephraim McDowell was trained as a surgeon in Scotland before settling in Danville, Kentucky. Yet so skilled was he in his practice that before long he was attracting patients from all over the country. There was one such case Dr. McDowell was fond of recounting, that a teenage boy whose daddy had brought him into Danville from their farm home 230 miles away, the trip itself, all of it on horseback, had almost killed young Jim, who by then had become semi-invalid. But his father told it this way. Jim had never been completely well. He was always a frail boy, small for his age. When he was old enough for farm chores, he did them dutifully, but he tired easily. Dad had become particularly concerned when the other boys began teasing him, calling him Jimmy the Weakling and Jimmy the Pantywaist. Wrestling and roughhousing, Jim always ended up on the bottom of the pile. Playing sports, especially those requiring any athletic ability, Jim routinely managed to lose. So, Dad decided to toughen the boy up by taking him out on long surveying trips. But all of the hilly hiking and scrambling through thick underbrush proved too much for Jim, so the men wound up leaving him in camp to cook or to tend the horses. From the boy himself, Dr. McDowell learned the symptoms that would give his malady away. Chronic weakness, yes. Also nausea and stomach pains that came at certain almost predictable times. What Jim, now barely 17, wanted more than anything was to be able to go to school, get a good education, but as it stood, he could never even become an effective farmhand. Well, Dr. McDowell questioned and examined Jim further. There seemed no doubt, he announced at last, the problem was gallstones. And the only way to solve that problem in the autumn of 1812, mind you, was to remove them surgically. And there was no adequate anesthetic in those days. Only brandy. Nor was there any such thing as sterilized instruments in those days. But Dr. McDowell operated on Jim right there on an old wooden table in his house. And the boy not only recovered, but he returned home proudly to display to the youngsters who had teased him his gallstones. And beyond his healing, Jim's dream came true. The following July, he entered the Presbyterian Academy at Maury. He received the education that he so deeply desired. And Dr. Ephraim McDowell, well, we don't know much about the remainder of his medical career, for you see, in the fall of 1812, he performed the only operation for which he's remembered today, the surgery which restored the health and therefore the future of a teenage farm boy who was to become the 11th president of the United States, James Polk. Now you know the rest of the story.